We all say "Shehi Darkam Choshech VeChalak Lakos." Umalach Hashem Roifah. We did this. Let's review. Then may their way be darkness and Chalak Lakos. Umalach Hashem Roifah. The Yisoid we said was three things come together. It is impossible to overcome. When you have three different things coming together, each one in and of itself, you know, okay, if it's dark outside, so you just be very careful. If it's slippery, hold on. If it's someone is someone is chasing after you, okay, so you be careful. But when each one of these things in and of itself is something that you can protect yourself from. A blazer, a Eliezer, Liederfund. You can say it for a year. You can say Hamakum for a whole year. A whole year.
Especially moving my family to see who my classmates are. And the Rebbe gave.
I have to tell you, I saw.
Now they know who I'm talking about whenever I tell them the story.
I have to tell you, I went there, there was a couple there. I'm not even sure, they were a married couple, correct?
I think so.
That was a married couple that when I was by you? He was in construction in Staten Island.
Oh, yeah.
So that was his wife. Oh, yeah. So she's able to speak, is she?
Yeah, she's much more.
You talking about Lazarus?
Does she have a hearing?
Yeah, that's right.
So she hears?
She hears? Much more than he does.
Uh-huh.
But they're both in the Hebrew Institute for the Deaf.
I'm telling you, I saw how they came to Menachem Avil, Rabbi Eliezer, and how Rabbi Eliezer communicates with them in sign language. I never saw something like this. I mean, you see, you know, you go on television, you go on news, you see them always signing, you know, you see every time the president speaks and then the mayor is always signing. But when you see it live in the context of Nichum Avelim, it's one thing when the president is telling you how great I am and blah, 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 blah. I'm the world leader, I'm going to solve every problem. That's one you watch on television, you don't even see. But when you see it in actual communication, okay, stop, friendly, you know, you're talking. But in the context of Nichum Avelim, I'm telling you, this is something you'll never forget. Eliezer, it's unbelievable. And also, when you talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. When you sign, there's so much emotion and body language. You have a connection with these people. It's like the mama, your children. I was blown away when I saw how Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim came when Menachem Avil in sign language. You gotta see, you never saw something like this.
Maybe that's why the Har Sinai
is here. Roy Mes HaKoilos.
Right.
There's a famous story with the Dodi Yehuda about making a psak on the people were married or not based on the faces of the people that were talking. If somebody witnessed their faces, if when he said, you know, like they said, he said, what did her facial expression say? She accepted or didn't accept it, you know? Did she,
wow.
She say, all right, it's one of the Shilas and Chumas that they use for halacha based on facial expression that was seen from afar. Somebody was standing on a bridge and they looked and they saw, and they quote him as a halacha based on facial expression.
So how tackle do deaf people get married? They do these kesas? Vermis?
Yeah. Most of them are not.
Totally deaf. Even if they're 100%, they're not a chersh, but they don't hear. A person is completely deaf, and the person says
Harei Hinu Kudesh. But there are two things: his hearing and speech. If he had either one, then he's not considered a chersh.
That's from the perspective. Right, of course, right, so there are bar das. But the mechanics.
Yeah.
L'chor, you have to say Harei Hinu Kudesh, and l'chor the isha has to hear. The man saved his words.
Sometimes they need lips.
Is that halachically valid?
It's a big discussion in the Gemara. I remember it's a big discussion.
How
what's considered, or is it all the Rabbana? I mean, is a wedding, but is it a deraisa situation or not? And it has major implications about in terms of the divorce later on.
Yeah.
If the, you need a divorce, that's where the Gemara discusses it in Gittin.
But
if
they,
it's,
they
you know,
depending on,
there's a problem with Gittin.
But they give them
to Gittin, in Safi.
They give the get of the Cherish and
a regular get.
Because the question is, if you were okay when you got married and now you became one for whatever reason, can you even ever get divorced?
Yeah, but I'm just the mechanic. Let's say they're a bar das, they're brilliant, they won Nobel Prize.
Right.
Not questioning your knowledge. If a person, if a woman does not hear, or a man cannot actually articulate the words,
right,
what is the halacha? How does one go through the mechanics of saying Hareat Mikudeshes? He needs to say the words, she needs to hear the words, and if they cannot do that, how does that work? So I'm just thinking now, I'm thinking out loud is, well, that's how the Torah gave us three mahalchim. Then there is shtar,
right?
So shtar, no, you never went to a wedding, never, where they were mekadesh with shtar. Why not? You have to have a sofer there, you have to have klaf, you have to have dioy, and he has to write it, the chosan has to say to the sofer, I hereby instruct you to write this, because I want to marry this woman, with kavan.
Right.
Then the sofer has to write it, it takes like probably 10 minutes for him to write it, it has to dry, like a chnasa sefer to her, take a blow dryer and wait for it to perfectly dry, and then he has to get it, and he gives it to her. We've never seen anyone, by any wedding, someone be mekadesh with shtar, because it's much more complicated. A kesef is very easy, you just take a tabasi, a kesef, and you say, Hareyat mikudeshes, and you give it to the isha, she accepts it, and you're done, you're finished. But I'm just thinking out loud with you, there are many situations where the person cannot actually articulate the words, and the woman cannot hear what he says. And if that is the case, l'chayra will be a civil solution to mekadesh with shtar. And now the thing is,
now
what
you
happens?
You still have to speak to them. You have to
make the sefer your shliach. So let's say you make your shliach in writing. You write on a piece of paper. I hereby designate you to be my agent to write. I want you to write the shtar. It has to be l'shma. It has to be written for this particular marriage, for me and for her, l'shem kiddushin. So maybe he can do that in writing. And now the thing that allowed is, and we have this, there's a third way to be Mekadesh, which is unheard of, and the Gemara even says a person does this, he gets Malkos, is with Bia. And what would that mean? That would mean that a person says to a woman in the presence of two witnesses, I hereby am now going to be Mekadesh you with an act of Bia. And then the two witnesses hear what this man says to this woman, and then they go into a Cheder Yichud, and they're alone. Now anyone that does that, the Gemara says, anyone that does Rav, when he found out a person did that, he beat him up. Rav Mangid, and man to Mekadesh Bebir. And by the way, after they're together one time, they're not allowed to live together anymore, until they have Nisuin. Until they go under the chuppah, they do the second act of marriage, which is he takes her into his Rishus L'Shem Kedushin, L'Shem Nisuin. But technically, this is and this the Gemara learns that. So the question is, if this is something which is prust, it's not der cheret, it's not min hanimus. So why then did the Torah create such a mahalach? So we're learning Masechta Yevamos because there it's necessary. There are situations I don't remember anymore, but it's interesting. It comes out there are certain ways in order to break the zika. All in complicated relationships, whatever it is, but I'm just thinking out loud. Let's say you have a situation where, unfortunately, the chos and kala cannot be the kaddish with. They don't have any money. They're dirt poor. There's no kesef. Not even a pruta. Why are they getting married then? If you can't support her, but they're not even a pruta. There's not even a pruta. Or let's say they cannot hear. I don't know what the halachas are.
Today's standards, they would make a deal and say that. Years ago, they didn't have the whole system of signing the way they do today, and they would consider that, they would say, we consider that speech today.
I know, but we don't know that. See, that's,
I know, I'm just saying, that would be a chiddush, but that's what I would think, that they would make that deal, could say.
What
case did it say Bermisa? I don't know the girl.
By a marriage.
By which particular case?
In the Bermisa, we had a number
right.
Of
where, by marriage?
Right. Yes.
By okay,
just
fine.
Like you were married, you were a Bermisa.
the big Burmese. Okay, okay, I still correct it. Okay.
Okay.
This morning by the bris, I was.
It works, but it's a Rabbanan situation.
So you just mentioned this morning by the bris, I was sitting by the bris, and this person was saying what is Rav, and he went to, I don't know, Kinnus, or Rav says that if Chazal were here today, they would put in an Isser that it would be also in Shulchan Aruch to bring a smartphone into the Beis HaKnesses. So I got all worked up, and I said, how do you know that? How do you know what they would have said? How do you know? Because they say it today, and no one listens. So I said, so what? The Rabbanim today, they can say what they want to say. How do you know what Chazal would have said? We honestly do not know anything. We don't know. We don't know how they would look at it. It's a problem. There are a lot of problems in life. Dime a dozen. There are a million problems in life. So you're going to say that you know for sure that if Chazal were alive today, they would say that a smartphone. How can you say such a thing? And the bottom line, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that it's possible. Is it a problem? There are a lot of problems. A lot of problems. It bothers me very much. People say, the Chazon Ish would have been here today, he would have said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Chazon Ish died how many years ago? 70 years ago? You can't say these things. People, they jump to these wild conclusions.
He says, Harry Ott, and the person listening has a...
Oh, so that's another interesting question. The cochlear implant. Right. So what are the Paiskim saying? Is that... It's not so simple. It's like hearing it on the radio, hearing it on the internet, on the telephone. It's not the cochlear ear. What's it called? Implant is not real sound. It's very close. Rabbi Eliezer taught me this. It's very close, but it's not mamish the real thing. And Rachman was some people who knew what the real thing was. They say you told me this. It's very good. It's a bracha beyond belief. But he said, "You told me it's not mamish the real. It's not mamish the real thing."
I think a hearing aid is more sound because a hearing aid is like a microphone.
There's this guy Hawkins, Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah, he died. He was a genius.
But
he's not because
artificial intelligence. He had a microphone. On
his yeah.
Head. He couldn't speak, and it translated what he wanted, and a voice came out.
Right.
Family that had a child that no name who couldn't talk, whatever, and they put a microphone to amplify whatever his original sound was rather than change it. Because they felt they could communicate feelings much better with his real voice, even though it was difficult to hear, than to have artificial intelligence.
The real voice. There's a lot of technology in this. I know this is some amazing stuff. At any event, but sometimes you should know the artificial sound is better than the real sound. Better than the real sound. Like yesterday I was by an event yesterday, so the technician showed me that putting on the earphones, the sound is so good, much better than sitting in the room and listening to the person speak. The electronic enhancement of the sound was better than the actual sound itself. Sometimes, and I stuck a chair, I was sitting there, listen to the speaker. You know, it sounds fine to me. They just put on the earphones. And the earphones sounds crisp. No echo, crisp. There's a ring to the voice that comes alive.
The noise filter.
The noise filter, a lot of technology. So sometimes the technology makes the reality even greater, even better. All right, let's go further. So here we have a yisoy darkam this choshech v'chalak lakos malach Hashem. Right, this really we mentioned this in the keynote. This idea, I think the Rav Kalman was the one who brought out this point, is all three together. And like we mentioned this, and when we learn the keynote about the second keynote of the day, is use the language of Purim. And just like Purim, when there are multiple events, each one in and of itself, you can easily just brush off and say it's a coincidence, but when all of the things come together, then you see the Yad Hashem. It's the same thing with Churban. Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings upon Klal Yisrael nisyonos, problems, difficulties. We've been dealing with difficulties for generations. There's always problems. So you deal with it, you figure it out. Is this a sign that Hashem is angry? You know, different. You know, that's the way the world is. There are always issues, so you deal with an issue. But when you find yourself in a situation where there are many, many issues and they all come together and it's overwhelming, oh, you now see the Yad Hashem. And here you have exactly that point. You have three different issues. Choshech is a problem. Chalaklakos, slippery. When the path is slippery, it's a problem. Even in broad daylight, it's a problem. And when someone is chasing after you, you know, you got to be careful when you cross the street when someone's chasing after you. You shouldn't get hit by a car. If someone's you're running irresponsibly through the street. Each one in and of itself is a problem. But when all three come together, someone's chasing after you in pitch black darkness on a road that's slippery, you don't got a chance. You don't got a chance. It's a combination of factors that are overwhelming. And that is a revelation of the Yad Hashem. For nothing, they hid against me a pit. Shachas rishon. This is a term. It seems that this is a term. It's a reshes, is a trap. Shachas, a pit, a certain type of pit that is very dangerous. Chinam, for no good reason. Chafru lenafshi. They dug down into the ground to trap me lenafshi, in order to trap my neshama. Tivo Ehu, now is the curse. Tivo Ehu Shoa Lo Yeda, may it come upon him a darkness. Here in this passage, the way the Mitzvah Stav learns the word Shoa means a darkness. Lo Yeda, according to the Mitzvah Stav, that he does not know how to escape from. He has no plan of action. There's no manual. There's no checklist what to do. You have to look at these documentaries. I have a WhatsApp of aviation. Every day I get like this guy. Every day he sends out like a couple of airplane disasters. I used to have to go to YouTube. Now I don't have to go anywhere. It comes right into the phone. This guy, his mom's obsessed with this stuff. It's fascinating stuff. I don't have time for any of this. Sends out.
Are you afraid? Now you're afraid.
Am I afraid? No. Now I'm waiting for the announcement. Is there anyone on board who has experience flying? Come to the cockpit, help us land the plane. but there's always a checklist. Whenever, to me it's very bizarre. I don't know, they show all these airplane disasters, and every time there's a disaster, they show the pilots taking out the checklist. You do A, B, C, D. Don't you know this stuff by heart by now? Aren't the pilots supposed to know Baal Peh what to do when there's a crisis for every situation, all the different steps you're supposed to take? It was a checklist. You have to go through this big book, and you have to pull out the checklist and go through all the steps. It's good to have everything in print. You have to go through a checklist. So here it's Lo Yeda, the Mitzvah Stav learns that they do not have a checklist for this particular situation. This situation is so dangerous. There's no one has dealt with this type of danger to write and to give you a plan of action how to go about this. Next, Virishtoy, that's Wamsha. We learned Josh, Virishtoy Lo Yeda means, and no one ever heard, no one ever saw before. Such a churban that Lo Yeda was not known to mankind. Virishtoy Ashatoman Tilgado, he should fall in his own trap. Bishoa, in darkness, Yipol Ba, he will fall in it. We'll rejoice in his salvation. And we did these psukim last week, on Thursday, and we did the mitzvah zdad, and we did Rashi. That's all we did. That's all we did. And now let's just look over here, maybe at the first Likutei Shas. Yehid on page 307 on the bottom. Yidarkom choshech v'chalaklakos malach Hashem roitvam ho em sonim v'hazedoinim. The word aim sonim is a very unique usage of the word aima. It's a sophisticated grammatical adaptation of the word aima. Those people who instill fear upon other people. People who love to make you afraid.
Bullies.
They just thrive. They thrive on this. Ho aim sonim, v'hazidoinim. Zidane means people that are just wicked people. Okay, they're not trying to make you afraid, they just watch out for them. They're not coming to get you. But people write as Zodoin. Zodoin means to be amazing. Willful, premeditated, exactly. Premeditated murder, premeditated behavior to cause harm. The azeifanim mechutzafim. You know, it's just, no matter how big a room is and how empty room, you have one mechutzaf in the room is not big enough. Okay, you cannot fit in the same room with a person that's a mechutzaf. They just change the whole atmosphere, the whole room. The whole room becomes
toxic.
Excellent. With people who suffer, balei zeroya, people that are forceful people. Four categories of wicked people. This is chazak. This is good stuff. Avos Rabbi Nosson. One day I would love to learn. We should one day make a seder to learn over here. To learn side by side. This is a fascinating limud. I always find like even the animamim we do in the end Thursday night. We have four versions of the 13 animamim. It's incredible. You look at what the Rambam wrote in the Perush HaMishnayos, and you look at what it says in the Siddur, and you look at there's a shorter ancient version of the animamim from the Sfardim, and Yigdal is animamim. We do in Thursday. We're almost finished. There are four versions of the animamins, and you compare them side by side. The Rambam is very marach, very powerful language. And then you read what it says in the Siddur, what it says by the Sardim, what it says in Yigdal, and you can contrast these four ancient versions of the animamins. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to bring out what the animamins are really all about. And here. What was I saying? What was I saying over here? I forgot what I was saying already. Pirkei Avos, right, thank you. It's fascinating, incredibly fascinating to compare Mishnah by Mishnah, what we have in the Mishnayos, and Avos the Rabbi Nosson. Avos Rabbi Nosson basically is a different version of Pirkei Avos. And the nuance of language in Avos Rabbi Nosson sometimes it's just very, very small. It's nuanced. And sometimes it's marich, and it's Mishnah against Mishnah. And you see the version of our Mishnah, and you see the version of the Mishnah which did not make it. Did not make it into.
Not that they didn't make it, they purposely left it out.
But it's right. They purposely left it out, exactly. But it's saying the same concept. Sometimes in exactly the same words, but more often than not in different words, and more often it elaborates. And when you read the Mishnah that we have, verse the Mishnah of Avos Rabbi Nosson, and you contrast the two, it's amazing. It's really each one complements the other, and in the process it brings out incredible ideas of what it says in Pirkei Avos. It's a whole different Pirkei Avos. You don't learn Pirkei Avos, you learn Pirkei Avos, you learn Pirkei Avos, and then you read what it says in Avos Rabbi Nosson, and you see how they wrote it. Oh, now I understand what it says in Pirkei Avos. It's a whole new world. So here, this comes from Pirkei. Every time you learn Pirkei Avos, it's always very, very satisfying. And here he mentions over here these four categories of wicked people. He categorizes the world. He understands the human condition. There are a lot of crazy people out there. I don't know if you're aware of that. How about in here? Okay, there are a lot of different types of crazy people. It's unbelievable what goes on out here in this world. And he's saying all these crazy people, they fit into these four categories. People that have, they thrive on getting you scared. Get scared, just be scared. Okay, the hazidoyin and people that are just wicked to the core. People that have mechutzafen. It's a whole different category. These are four different, very different categories. And the Ba'alei Zeraya, it's my way or the highway. They're not necessarily in Chutzafim. They're not wicked. And they're not trying to get you upset. They're not trying to, but it's a very unpleasant experience to deal with them because everything that you do, every time you talk to these people, it's my way or the highway. You do things the way I want.
Think about Hebrew language here. The word Zion appears three times here. Zion, you say it with the teeth. The old Zion, this is Zion. Zidonim,
Azeponim, Zoya, very good.
It's a the language is.
Very good. There's a Z. The Z brings out a certain emotion in the person.
He's what and the reference to each one, why you say it the way you do, he's very big on the line. He wrote a whole thing. When he said each my path why was shown, he lists all the letters that Moshe couldn't see.
Because Moshe is not able to say
three Zions.
Hazidoinim. Azeponim. Ubale Ziroya. That's a very good point. The Z is an unsettling sound. When you hear someone say Z, you right away recoil. Oh, what's going on? These are people, you see these people. There's a certain type of person, you know, it's
you heard a fly.
Mizamzem. It annoys you. It annoys you. It annoys you. Klizayin. Klizayin. So you say your chiddush of the Zion represents an annoyance.
Ki
bizidah. An annoyance. An annoyance.
Comes to mind right away. I told you once that we had a Rebbe that used to, a boy in the class who was. He would say, but he said it in Yiddish. But, and the boy never understood, and he looked at me because he knew I understood Yiddish. He said, right? And then he would go to close the door and say, I'm not here, inside.
My rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo, he told me, on a speech, public speaking on the speech, so your instructions. Like when you're Biden, he likes to read the instructions, repeat the line.
Yeah.
It seems like the truth was they showed that it wasn't, they made out of it wasn't really true or that, whatever. But in any event, there's no only a play that any event on a speech, the instructions are, it says in the speech, weak point, raise your voice. when you want to say nonsense, and you know it's nonsense, how are they going to believe you? So if you speak, when you raise your voice and give emphasis, now they're going to think, whenever you come to a weak point, raise your voice.
Capital letters.
Okay. In any event, going back over here, I think this is a very impressive analysis of the human condition. My favorite term is the misonim hazidonim asifonim bale zroya. Alei moim zed nepasik yizroyis v'shom tish shabarna, you'll break their arms. The Kharshe Ra, the Mahabhe Dvarim, Umantike Safa, Ubali Lashnara. Okay, he's another category of people, another category of wicked people. People with Kharshe Ra. Kharsha means to plow. It sounds like Kharshe Ra, people that are beginning to plant seeds. People are beginning to plant seeds in order to achieve their People plan for years how to pull off a heist. They plan for years. Umahabhe Dvarim, people that turn things upside down. Umamtike Safa, sweet talk. Ubale Lashon Hara, people outright liars. Another, how many categories? This is 1, 2, 3, 4, another four categories of people. Aleim Huomer, it says, this is what it says here in the pasuk over here. Yidarkom Choshech Vachalak Lakois Umalach Hashem Roitvam. Avos Rabbi Nosson is saying about these eight categories of people. Upon them it says, the last four, it says their way should be chalak choshech v'chalak lakos u'malach Hashem roitfam. How do you see it over here? How do you see these four categories? Well, one thing is for sure, the word chalak, this the Chofetz Chaim dwells upon. When we learned over here the word v'chalak lakos, this refers to the road being slippery, black ice, a slippery path. But in Chazal's terminology, Chalaklakos means a smooth talker. You ever see these guys?
Yeah.
Politicians. People. She was very good. Psaki. She's mama. She gets the Nobel Prize for Chalaklakos. She's gone, Baruch Hashem. She gets the Nobel Prize for being a Chalaklakos. You ask her a question, smooth talker. Totally to turn the tables, to deflect the issue. This newer now, not so good. Right? Not so good. She tried, she was training for so many years by her. She's a Talmida, but she didn't exactly learn the art of being a Chalaklakos.
Who are you talking about?
I can't pronounce her name. I can't pronounce her name. I don't know how to pronounce her name. How do you pronounce her name?
You mean the second one?
Yeah.
I call her Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
See, I can't say that.
Yeah. Kleinen.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. The spokeswoman
for Kareem Jean-Pierre.
The spokeswoman for the President of the United States. She, they are very, these people, they're talented in the profession of called chalaklakos, smooth talkers.
Now, that one's a deer in the headlights.
Smooth talkers. You ask them a question, you pose a question, and you say, are we in a recession? And you say, what do you, and then they know how to, with this economic growth, the world is what are you talking about? And yet you're able to say it in such a way where most of America believes you, and not most, some of America, they actually believe you. How do they have this ability to take MS and a sheker? I don't know why you want to say it. It's a koyach. It's a tremendous koyach of manipulation.
Spinning.
Chalaklakois. It means to be smooth with your tongue. Okay, smooth talking. Now that's obviously it has to, because the Chavetz Chaim mentions this. It talks about these smooth talkers, and it really comes from this Chazal. The Chavetz Chaim is taking it from what it says in Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. And this Avos Rabbeinu Nosson here, this is a very important Chazal, because this when we look at the Muslim Freshman over here, when we learn, it talks about walking down a road that's slippery, black ice. And when I read the pasuk for the first time, I said, oh, this is talking about Lashon Hara. Because someone must have taught me this 10 years ago. I don't know, we learned Chilchus Lashon Hara, and this term kept on coming up. Chalaklakas. Okay, that's not what it says. Here in the first one it says, it means to walk on a road that's slippery. But the truth is, in the other Rabbeinu Nosson, in the body of Agada, indeed it says that the word Chalaklakas, over here it says, that's what the Chorshei Ra. I'm not sure exactly what it means, the chersh, those who plow raw. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Some type of evil person. Well, mahab chedram, the next three are clearly discussing speech, the koyach hadibur. The other people that we mentioned above, the other four categories of people, those are not people who talk. Those are people who do evil. Those are practitioners of evil. These last four people are people whose evil is expressed with dibur, and sometimes dibur can be even more damaging than actual action. And the first one, I don't know what it means. L'chayre, if the other three are referred to the koich of dibur, l'chayre, the first one also refers to speech. But when it says mahabche dvar, the imam turns upside down. You say day, they say night. They're able to manipulate. And this is umam tike sofa. People that sweeten the matters with their lips. What we call a smooth talker, ubalei lashon hara, they're outright, they speak evil, they speak lies and evil words. Aleim oimu, as it says, yidarkum choshav v'chalaklap v'smal v'chashem v'otvan. Choyach ha'dibur is everything. I tell you something personal, which I really believe to be 100% MS, and I've told this to people, and some of them actually agree with me for a change. You can look out of this world and you find there are people who are recognized today as being Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, you look and you say, I, different levels. And, you know, it's not nice to say, but I'm not so nice guy. You wonder sometimes, why then? Why did, everything is Bahashkacha, why did Hashem elevate them, and in the eyes of the world, these are the go-to people. These are Manhigan. They make decisions. They make decisions wherever they are, whether they're working for the Aguda, they're working for the OU, they're working for the National Council of Young Israel, they're working for major league organizations which has many, many constituents and many different segments of Klal Yisrael, and what one segment of Klal Yisrael does, it affects everyone to a degree. It's always all interconnected to some degree. And you look at them, and you listen to them, and you study who they are, their background, and their knowledge. Okay, listen, we don't come to these things. But you look around, you know, there are other people who appear to be more charismatic, who appear to be more knowledgeable, more polished. And you wonder sometimes, and it took me many years to realize this. A lot of times, I feel, I don't know if it's true, I can't tell you, is that Soid Hashem Liyureya. There's an incredible talent in keeping a secret. A lot of these people cannot even begin to imagine how many secrets are presented to them of what is going on. And it is so easy to slip and even to say a few words to someone else about what you know. It's a tremendous yetzer when you know secrets, and to just, you know, yeah, something you can explode. You can mamash explode. You know what's going on, and you're chalishing to tell someone. You're dying to tell someone, even your wife or your child, who you know, and you say even one word, and before you turn around, people know what they're not supposed to know, even amongst a small group of people, and that's a disaster. And I've noticed in you know, having Baruch Hashem contact with maybe, you know, the incredible ability to completely keep information totally private. You confide in someone something very serious, a very serious matter. You don't want anyone to know, and this person has to know because they need his help, and you need him to make some phone calls or to do what needs to be done. And you trust him that he mamish will not tell a soul in this world, not even his wife. No one, no matter how explosive, how powerful it is, that is an incredible talent. And if you look around at some of the biggest leaders in Klal Yisrael, you will see, they all have that talent. And that talent is independent of scholarship, independent of public speaking, and charisma. So these are all wonderful things. You need to be a good public speaker today. You need to all show business today. That's the way it goes today. It's show business today. And you gotta be charismatic, and you gotta be educated, and v'chulu. But you know something? It's amazing. The people that really are on the very, very top, they know how to keep secrets. And if they don't keep a secret, they're done. They could be a Yoresh. If let's say they come from a dynasty where it goes Birusha to their children, and then the child takes on the mantle of leadership from his father, and he doesn't know how to keep secrets. He's gone. He's toast. In one day, he's finished.
No one's
you don't hear about them anymore. They used to be on top. You know,
because people don't trust them.
That's right. Exactly. It's more than that. It's a need
of the average rabbi in the shul.
Average rabbi. That's right.
People come and unburden them.
Right. 100.
You have to know.
100%.
What I'm faced with is telling, you know, people like to say things about people, and I know where they're coming from because you don't know certain things about them.
100%.
What they did, and you can't say it, but you just say, you know, don't go there or whatever it is, but you can't say it.
When I was a student, I once went to this fascinating course from the National Council of Young Israel in rabbinic training, the practical elements of rabbinic training. Every week there were two speakers, two rabbanim, and they told us all the secrets. And I remember Rabbi Faskowitz. I haven't seen him in years. Where is he now, Rabbi Faskowitz?
He was in Queens.
Where is he
I
now?
He's still now. He was in the in Queens. He came
Hillcrest.
Where is he now?
Hillcrest.
He's right now in Hillcrest. He's still now in Hillcrest. Okay, whatever. So he spoke, and he said he was then. He was then a very young rabbi in Canarsie.
Right.
Israel of Redwood.
He was, yeah, but that was then he went to
and he was the rabbi, and he said to us that he worked very, very hard with the Balabatim. And one day he was meeting with one of the people from the board, and they said to him, they said to him, Rabbi, what do you do the whole day? What do you do the whole day? You come and you give a shiur on Shabbos. And you officiate when it happens. There's a funeral. How many funerals do we have already? And we're paying you all this money. What do you do the whole day? So he told us. He told the person. He told us. He was tongue in cheek. He told them, follow me around. Come meet me tomorrow 7:00, and you come with me. I'll take the whole day. You sit with me the whole day. Follow, and I'll show you what a rabbi does the whole day. Yeah, that's what he told them, all of us. But he told us, and everybody else will say, and I know this is my father, people have problems, and they come to him, and they confide in him, and these are serious, serious matters.
He spoke visit people once in Shabbos.
Besides visiting people, he's dealing with people who have real problems. Divorce, shalom bayis, parnasa, major issues, and he has to meet with them for hours. And he has to make telephone calls, he has to go meet with other people to solve the issues. And these issues, they are 100% confidential. And he can't tell the Baal HaBos, what do I do the whole day? I can't tell you what I do the whole day. I'm dealing with life and death issues. I'm trying to save a family. I'm trying to save a child. And it's no one's business. It's not your business to know. I can't go tell you what's going on. I can't even say one word. If I say the name, well, I met with this Baal HaBos and his wife, that's it. That's it. You violated their confidence. And instead, it's a very, very frustrating part of the Rabbanus. A real rough. Not talking about, you know, not every rough is a rough. Wow, would they toast me at the stake to say, toast me at the stake for saying that? I didn't say that. I said worse. I said worse. But he said in rabbinic training, he said in the rabbinic training course, he says, that is an extremely frustrating element of Rabbanus. Rabbanus deal you have in your head secrets. Secrets. It's no one's business to know anything, not even a word. Where were you today? What did you do today? None of your business. If I said one word, I had met with someone. Oh, who do you need? Blah, 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 blah. And then before you turn around, everyone knows everything.
Right.
Everyone knows everything. What do you do today? None of your business. You can't say that to them. They'll get, you can't talk like that. The people are paying you the salary. How do you do it? It is a very frustrating element. The koyach of is to keep a secret. And you'll see, when you study great people, the greater the person, okay, you study this, you'll see it's true. The greater, okay, I'm going to say, the greater the person, the greater he knows how to keep a secret. Totally. It's almost like second nature. It's almost like second nature not to say a single word.
I saw this psychologist in Ohio, including him, and he preferred not to practice in his neighborhood.
Right.
He wanted to be somewhere else. He didn't want to hear all the stuff that goes on in his own community. Better not.
For sure not. But even whatever you hear. I mean, you see some of these people. I know Alon Chaim Bolin, and those years, Aaron Shafter, he was Baruch Hashem, he should be before Shlema. He was very active, extremely, lines and lines. There's no doubt. I mean, it was very obvious. The craziest secrets went into his head from this night. What was going on? All different elements. You never heard any, ever, that he revealed a secret. It was never such a thing that he gave away anything. It's like, okay, here, he did what he did. He never babbled. Never. You never heard such a thing. And yet people were coming and lining up. I mean, what goes on is not upon the same thing. Upon I was there much later, so upon ready around with. But also people lining up. Can you imagine the things that were going on in his head? I remember once I was taking a smicha b'chena from Rapan, and I had to go ask if they could be the appointment. What time is the b'chena? What time did he did it in groups? He did it in groups of boys. Different. You know, he was tested five times. Different. So he had to go. What finalizes the time for it? And I remember he came into him. And we were waiting outside the door to find out, waiting for a long time. He was on the seat of the window, you could see. He was on the phone. And he came, he walked into him. He mamish looked like a ghost. And it was very obvious that he was so shaken up. What they were talking about on the phone, like I looked at him, and like he was gone. He nothing fazed him. And then, like he composed, he says, "Oh, what time? This is the time." And I knew it was so obvious. He's dealing with some very heavy things. Koyach is to keep a secret. Here it says about people over here. He writes over here. These are very evil people. The same way it's only zeh l'umah zeh boro elokim. The same way greatness is defined in keeping secrets. Katmus, a lowly person, is defined by just blabbering and spilling all the beans. Hashem created a person who gave a person the ability to bring in information, and you know what? Let it stay there. Don't let it out. It is a divine midah to keep a secret. It's not just, okay, of course, very practically speaking, it's very good. But a person has this nature when you have your good news. Don't you want to tell people good news? Don't you want to go and tell people? It's a certain character of a person's neshama. You want to tell people something. You want to talk. And when you have to keep a secret, this is an act of kedusha. Soid Hashem. The ability to know the secrets of Hashem, liyareyav, are only given to those who truly fear Hashem. Mm-hmm. It's a need of Yira Shemai. And the opposite, the less Yira Shemai a person has, the more they have the tendency to talk, and get out of all the secrets. And this study always needs chizuk. Just when you think you've mastered the art of keeping a secret, do you really begin, I gotta go tell this person. I gotta tell my wife. I gotta go tell this guy. I gotta smirk. Certain people, you tell all the garbage to them. Like a club. You tell me, you get, just between us. Not Lashon Hara, you know. Just between us. We need an outlet. It's extremely dangerous. It spreads. This pasuk is, I mean, Hashem, there's like a curse from the Avos Rabbi Nosson to go and give up over all the secrets. Okay, let's maybe look at the Chemes Anach. I didn't really prepare the Chemes Anach. Let's see. Let's try to see what he says. You know, that was in Kuvites. That was a previous pasuk. I know, let's go further. Why not? Let's now go to pasuk Yud. Pasuk in Kol Atzmo Sai Termana Hashem Michamach. Ma'at Oni Michas Yimenim Oni Degen Bigoyz. All of my bones. Mark mentioned that this refers to being naki during davening. Let's just say, all of my bones. Termana will say Hashem Michamach. Who is like you? Matzil, you save Oni, a poor man. Mechazok Mimenu, from one who is greater than him. The Ani ve'Evyon Migoyzel, an Ani and an Evyon, you saved an Ani and an Evyon Migoyzeloy from the person that robbed from him. Let's see the Mitzvah of it first. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud is Michanoch and Mimoshiach and Mechu says, save you like you. Mechazok Mimenu, Minho Oye, Mechazok Mimenu from an Oye, and any of the stronger him, Migoyzel, Mimisharitzel, Legoza from one who wants to rob him. Okay, let's see what he says in Rashi. There is no Rashi. Let's look at the Likute Shas. Likud is a really good over here, Ben Chashai. Okay, this is the Ben Chashai. Michamoch is saying in Oz Yoshe, twice. But let's see the Likute Shas. Likute Shas, Kol Atzmoi say all of my bones. Toimarna say Hashem, Michamoch, Itmar. Soya, this is exactly what you said, Mark. Right, this is what you're referring to, the Kitz Shulchan Aruch? From Raya out of the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, you see that the Likutei Shas, they stole it from the Kitz Shulchan Aruch. Chazal, they took it out of the Kitz Shulchan Aruch. Itmar, Soya al Besaroi, Umechus Lebegen. Person has waste upon his body, on his flesh, but it is covered with the garment. O Yoda Munachas Besakisei. A person puts his hand into the Besakisei. So what is Allah? Is he allowed to daven? Rafuna Amar Mutter Likwes Kriyashma, Rafis Amar Osim Likwes Kriyashma. It's a machlekes. A person has Soa on his body, but it's covered, or his hand, but not his mouth. He's standing right, he's adjacent to a Beis HaKisei, and he puts his hand into the Beis HaKisei, so his, most of his body, the majority of his body is in the Beis HaKnesses, and only his hand is in the Beis HaKisei, or there's soya, and of course we're dealing with there's no odor, because if there is an odor, then you're not allowed to die.
Right.
We're dealing here with dry soa. There is no odor. The Beis HaKisei is not giving off any odor. And the person's mouth, heart, mind, everything, his body is in a good place. Is he allowed to daven, say Kriya Shema? It is machloikis. Why? So the Gemara explains, according to Amar Rava, by time of Ravuna, so we understand why we understand. Ravuna says what? He says mutter. What's the read? The sins of the pasuk kol hanasham et ha'alul kah. Milashon neshima. Since it's kol hanasham, neshama represents the neshim, the blowing, the mouth. That is what it's critical to facing Hashem, and therefore shirak ha'peh v'ho'af v'chlal hilu. As long as a person's nose and mouth are located in a domain where that is proper, you can say Kriya Shema. Rav Chista Omar, it is awesome. Why this pasuk? Awesome, because Kriya Shema, my time, Rav Chista, the Tzip Kol Atzmai Sai Teman Hashem Yitamaycha, Shekol Eivarav Tzichim Liyas Ruim Lihilul. When a person davens, it's an incredible Musa Haskel. All of his bones must participate in his expression of praise to Hashem. And therefore, if your hand is in the Beis HaKiseh, your hand is not participating. If there is soya upon a person's arm, even though the arm is covered, so it's not disgusting because it's not seen, but being that the arm is in a matzah, that it in and of itself is not allowed to participate in tefillah because it's connected to tzoa. So then when the person davens is missing some of his bones, are excluded from his expression of praise. And that is awesome. That comes from this pasuk. A person who davens to Hashem, according to Rav Huna, his entire body must participate. Call at my side, all of my bones, Tamarna must declare Hashem Yichamoch. Next. V'lam tekin shachachavim shmoni esher brachos mitzvah yor 18. That's the sixth parasha. Vo eschanan el Hashem bo esahi leimon. Okay, this is a very important parasha. Kreicha tefillah. After Tisha B'Av, there is a renewal of the koyach of tefillah. The base of Mikdash is ki beisi base tefillah. And after the base of Mikdash, we go to Tisha B'Av, the Churban base of Mikdash. It's now time to rebuild. And how do you rebuild? Well, if the Beis HaMikdash is a mokum of Beis Tefillah, it's now the Zman to be Mechazek. Right away today, what was the first thing you learned today? Vo'eschanan, the first words of Torah that come after Tisha B'Av is Vo'eschanan El Hashem. I pray to Hashem. Really, you pray to Hashem. Yesterday, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Tefillah was destroyed. There's nowhere to pray. Hashem doesn't want to hear your tefillos. Sosam tefilosi. Guess what? It's the Jewish way. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. Just because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Hashem has said to us, silence, it's time to rebuild. V'eschanan. Okay, Kriyas HaTorah today. Rabbi Simon, Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, so therefore, why? So Moshe, we have Tzila. Why are there 18 blessings? Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Shimon, Levi, Kenegat, Shimon, Shachal, Yishon, Shadon. There's so many different interpretations why we have 18 blessings. And one of them is because there are 18 vertebrae in the spine. Shabbashah, Shabbat, Koy, Medi, Mispala, Sadech, Lasuach, Bechulon. A person has to speak. Bechulon. All 18. Lashuach means to bend. Okay, to bend. When a person bows, when you bow, Baruch Atah Hashem, you have to bend. With Malcham, why do all of the bones participate in the bowing? All 18 of the vertebrae of the spine. The spine is the main portion of the body. It's what keeps the person straight, keeps the person vertical. Call Atzmosai Tamarna Hashem Mi Chomoicha. Because it says in the Pasuk, all of my bones. Okay? Uvichol Nafshecha. What does that mean in the Pasuk? V'avaditem Es Hashem Lokechem. It says, not in the Kriya Shema, it's not in the Pasuk, it's in the Pasuk, Uvichol Nafshecha, Uvichol Nefesh, Nefesh, Abor, Uvichol, Shiyomar. Tichi Nafshi Usahalleleka. V'yoymer, Kol Atzmosai Tamarna Hashem Mi Chomoicha. It says in the Pasuk, Uvichol Nafshecha. And more is darshan. Uvichol nafshecha means every element of your neshama that he created. And this is very fascinating, Chazal. Because over here it's telling us here that every single bone has a neshama. And this is an amazing concept. Why is it so amazing in the modern world, much more so than it was in ancient times? Because we know today that in the bone there is marrow. And that marrow is mamish. Let's take a step back. What is blood? Ki hadam hu hanefesh. Today, Rachmanu Litzlan, they're always seeking bone marrow. Okay, bone marrow transplants. Rachmanu Litzlan, when the person is not well, what do? I don't know what different. They go and they seek from people that have the same blood type. They take blood. They take bone marrow. Bone marrow. It's a very painful process. This is what I fight for. Unfortunately, some people go through this process. Is they extract bone marrow from a healthy person, and they go to a Rachman Lissan, the person who's not well, and they drain their bone marrow. It's very painful, and then they inject fresh, healthy bone marrow. What it really is, the bone marrow? It's really blood. It's a really certain, it's a chelik of the blood. And that blood, Chazal says in the pasuk over and over, ki hadam hu hanefesh. Hadam hu hanefesh. So here is an incredible, we read this Chazal, go back 2,000 years. Let's say you have no medical background. We're learning from modern medicine. It says, uvechol nafshecha, your entire neshama. What's the emphasis of uvechol? That when you serve Hashem, you shall serve with all of your neshama. What is it uvechol? So first it says, uvechol nefesh to nefesh shebar ulucha. Shenemar. Okay, cool. I don't even know what that means. Every neshama. What does it mean? Gilgul ha-neshama? Gilgul? Every time you come back into this world, you want to be a Kabbalist? Okay? You want to be a Kabbalist? Here you got it. Every time you come back into this world, Gilgul neshamas. I don't like that type of stuff. But if you want to read that into the Pasuk, wow, it's right in front of you. And then it says something which, if you go back 2,000 years ago, no one is sitting with this Pasuk to me. It says, my neshama should praise you, my should live. It sounds like Gilgul neshamas. And the oiner, oh, another pasuk. Kol atzmo sai toimarna Hashem michamoch. Now, what in the world does that have to do with b'chol nafshecha, b'chol nefesh v'nefesh shebara b'chol, every neshama that He created in you? A person has 248 bones. They're listed in the Mishnah in the Masechta Ohalos. Each bone has a degree of lachluchas. Some have more, some have less. Bone marrow. I don't know the exact part of the small bones in the hand, the arm. I don't know exactly, but the larger bones certainly have marrow. That marrow is really blood. It's no different than blood. And blood is ki hadam hu hanefesh.
So you can't eat marrow from the meat.
Non-kosher, the whole...
Kosher.
Let's first finish the thought. Therefore, when it says, v'chol nefesh lo nefesh, every single one of your bones is a chelik of your neshama. Because in the bone there's blood, and the blood ki adam hu hanefesh. So when it says, the pasuk v'chol nafshecha, every one of your bones better be in synagogue. Don't leave your arm in this Beis HaKnesses and this arm in the Beis HaMerchatz. Because then, part of the blood, the bone, which contains the nefesh, the marrow, is not present. This arm is a neshama, this arm is a neshama, and here you are, and part of your neshama is not ready to daven yet. Every bone is called a neshama, the chol nefesh, because of the marrow in the bone. We today know that. I don't know how I don't know the history of this.
The Sephardo discusses it on that pasuk. Science in his day was not up. They thought he was crazy. He was a doctor, and they thought he was crazy. But he talked about that. It's the Adamu Hanefesh. He says it's oxygen.
Accident.
And they said, "What do you?" They didn't know what he was talking about.
What year?
The blood.
He died in 1550.
So this is definitely a revelation. That's what Sefer Zal. As the time goes on, there are more revelations. Well, so everyone says this concept of the neshama. We learned this many times. We think that there's only one neshama, one person. A person is not much different than we learned in Sefer Yechezkel, and we learned about the Merkava, and it sounds almost like an artificial intelligence type, where there are multiple dimensions to the neshama that are at different locations. Chazal explicitly said that a person has at least five, the neshama is divided into five parts. And like, let's say, for example, when the person goes to Beis HaKavaris, this is all Chazal, and this is all stupid stuff, which I don't know what I'm talking, I'm just telling you words. You go to Beis HaKavaris, and the neshama is there. Really? It's so boring. Why would the neshama want to go be in the cemetery? There's nothing doing there. It's hot. It's boring. How many people come to visit?
It's cool.
Now they're not so cold down there. Where is the neshama? Is begins a meroinim. So Chazal explained, no, there are different elements. There's an element of the neshama that's in Shemayim. There's an element in Shemayim of the person's neshama that may be surveying the world, maybe floating, maybe going to a chasma. Maybe someone's great-grandchild is getting married, he wants to go see what's going on, he goes to the chasma. And there's another element of the neshama that's watching over someone who's in a lot of trouble. And a part of the neshama is in the grave, is hovering over the grave. How could the neshama be in so many places at the same time? Well, Hashem is all over the place at the same time. Every neshama is a chilek of Hashem. And all these little elements, they communicate with one another. Wi-Fi. It's Wi-Fi. And they communicate. All the five different elements of the neshama, which probably themselves can be broken down to more parts, they all communicate with one another. In a person, when he is alive, his neshama is dispersed all over his body. There's a neshama in the mayach, there's a neshama in the lave. There's a neshama, chilek of neshama of each one of the persons, evarim. There's a neshama in the right leg, a chilek of neshama in the left leg, a chilek of neshama in the arm. There are 248 bones. And if ki hadam hu hanefesh, the blood is the neshama, and we say every single kol atzmoisai tonarna Hashem nichamocha, just like after death, Chazal tell us, and we have a moon of what they say is MS, that the neshama is broken into many different components, and it's located in different locations, and they communicate with one another. And when a person goes to a grave, that element of the neshama sends a signal, hey, someone's here to visit. Come on down. You got a visitor. There's a little chelik down here in this world that's connected and tells the bulk of the neshama, we got a visitor here, come on down and talk to him, listen. So too, when a person is alive, there are different chalakim of the neshama. We might have a discussion, where is a person's neshama with regard to brain death? Okay, today this is a big controversy. Yeah. When do you pull the plug? Is it brain death? Or is it the heart? If the heart is still beating naturally, and according to medical knowledge, there is zero activity in the brain, zero. And the stem, even today, they have much more advanced technology than when these shilas were first presented to Rav Moshe. And there is zero activity in the stem of the brain. As far as all, Lo nidnetaru lo malachi hasharis. The doctors will tell you that it's the best instrument we have in the world indicating there's no activity in the brain, no activity in the stem. It's over. The heart is beating. It's like a lizard. The tail of a lizard. So pull the plug. The person is dead. So in a chanami, there are many gedolei yishol say pull the plug. And there are other gedolei yishol say not so fast. Whoever said the neshama is in the brain? There's an element of the neshama in the heart. No one's denying the brain is gone. No one's denying it. 100% the brain is dead. It's over. The heart is beating. Why is the heart beating? There's life. Where does that life? The neshama. Pulling the plug is murder. Okay, so that's what some places can say. No, yesh liyesh. Others totally disagree. Igud neshama. The Gemara says you find igud neshama. So No, there's no answer to this question. The biggest rabbanim, Rav David Cohen, and my father used to ask these shaylos. Balbatim, and my father's shul had these shaylos with their parents. What do you do? And basically, we have these questions that are the biggest gedolei yishol disagree. You tell the family whatever you feel is the right thing to do. It's in your hands. There is no clear psak halacha. They are the greatest of the great on both sides of this issue. And you, in this instance, you do what you feel is comfortable. Then that a lot of these type of shaylos are like that. Rav David Cohen told that basically to my father. There's no clear psak halacha. Moshe says this, this one says this, and this is that. And the truth is, every shaylos is a little bit different. You're entitled here to make a decision that you feel is in the best interest of the nifter, of the person who's sick, and of the family. But what do you learn from this, just this conversation, is there's a chelik of the neshama in the lev, a chelik of the neshama in the moyach, and they communicate. They communicate. And the mail here you see an expansion of this idea where it says, kol atzmoisai termarna Hashem micha moicha, every bone, b'chol nefesh for nefesh, which interprets to mean every bone. Since when is a bone called a nefesh? And today, modern medicine has taught us there's blood in every single bone. And that blood is so powerful. If Rahmanul, so the person is not well, they extract it and they put in fresh blood. You give a person fresh life. So you take a see, every bone is a chelik of the neshama. And every single bone must be present to tefillah.
That's what the Sforno said, the blood, but it's the oxygen in the blood that's the life. That's what he said.
Oxygen in the blood, that is the life force. All over.
Why you don't need blood, that's the life force.
They're trying to assume they're assuming it attacks oxygen also.
That's what he said.
Assume they can attack oxygen. Put a meter. How much oxygen did you inhale?
Oxygen in the blood.